Chapter 4. I stared at the ceiling of my bedroom as the hot sun slowly set outside. Just after dark, a few cars pulled up in front of our house. I heard people laughing downstairs. Larry was one of them. So was Donald. I hadn't eaten dinner and I was hungry, but Larry's words from yesterday came back to me. There are gonna be days when we're not gonna want a kid around. I knew it was one of those days. If I went down there looking for food, I'd have to run into him and his friends. They'd see my bruised face. Maybe Larry would tell them what happened and insult me like he did before. He'd make a joke of it for his friends, or maybe he'd do worse. No way, I told myself. I'll eat later. Instead, I turned on the rusty old fan to drown out the noise, and I flipped through a stack of comic books I'd brought from Aunt Faye's apartment. I had started reading comics the summer I failed school. It was the one thing I was allowed to have besides books.
As long as you're reading something, you're not letting your mind get soft in front of that TV, Grandma would say.
One of my favorites when I was a kid was Street Knight. He guarded neighborhoods at night, taking out thugs and bullies with his bare hands. Maybe it was the heat or that I was starving, but the next thing I knew, I started picturing myself facing Shamar and Rodney again. Only this time I had Street Knight's power. I saw myself stepping out of the alley behind Cats as they were sitting down with my cheesesteaks. But now I'd be taller, bigger, stronger, and no bruises from Larry that would slow me down.
That's not yours, I'd say, surprising them.
Rodney would look around nervously. Shamar might wet himself, his jeans suddenly getting darker.
Oh, that's nasty, Rodney would say, but he'd be shaking too. You fools had any sense, you give me back what's mine right now, I'd warn.
They'd look at each other in disbelief.
Give it to him, Shamar would whimper. Man, I ain't giving him nothing, Rodney would shoot back, trying to act hard.
That's what I'd hoped you say, I'd reply, stepping right up to him.
Rodney's forehead would be covered in sweat. He'd blink, trying to figure out what I might do next. Maybe he'd look around the alley to make sure I was alone. Then he'd explode, throwing a sucker punch to my jaw like he did before, but I'd be quicker this time. I'd dodge his right and catch his left in my hand. Then I'd start crushing his fist, making his knuckles snap and pop. He'd cry out. I'd stare at him for a few seconds, letting the lesson sink in.
Next time, don't take what's not yours, I'd say, letting go. Now give me my sandwiches and my change.
Shamar would run away, but Rodney would pull out a knife and come at me again. I'd take his wrist and bend it back until the knife popped out. Then I'd shove him into a pile of trash cans behind Cats. I'd walk up to him then. He'd be cornered, covered in rotten garbage.
I'm sorry, he'd blurt out then, his hands shaking in fear. Here, take it, he'd say, giving me my sandwiches, which were still hot, and my change.
You sure are sorry, I'd say, without even looking at him again.
The neighborhood would be safe after that. Maybe Larry would hear the news and leave before I came for him.
Whoosh!
An ambulance screamed by on Union Street right outside my window, shattering my thoughts and filling my room with angry red lights. It was 11 o'clock at night. I was still hungry. Larry was still downstairs, and Shamar and Rodney were still out there somewhere. The world wasn't safe. That was the truth, and there was no escaping it. I woke up the next morning with my empty stomach growling. The rest of the house was quiet, and I made sure Larry's car was gone. I figured he and Mom were at work, and it was safe to go downstairs, so I headed straight to the kitchen. The sink was full of dirty dishes, and the air still smelled of cigarettes from the night before. When I looked for something to eat, I discovered that most of the food Aunt Faye got us was gone. There was still cereal, but someone had finished the milk and the orange juice. I grabbed the last slices of cheese, but there was no bread to eat it on. My aunt's kitchen had never been this empty. After a bowl of dry cereal and two slices of cheese, I was still hungry. No one would be home for hours, and there was no way I'd ask Larry for food. Then I remembered the money Aunt Faye had given me.
When you need it, use it, she had said.
I needed to eat. 10 minutes later, I was out the door looking for a place to get groceries. I was carrying $20 and made sure I stayed on Union Street. I asked an old woman at a bus stop where the nearest food store was. She grabbed her purse like I was going to mug her. "Go to Graham's. It's 3 blocks down," she mumbled, barely looking at me. I thanked her and followed her directions. Graham's was right where she said it was. It had an old-fashioned sign and looked like it had been on the block forever. A heavy-set woman about Aunt Faye's age was leaving as I walked in. She carried a gallon of milk she'd bought.
"You stay safe now, Graham. Tell Alice not to work too hard with them lawyers," she said.
The silver-haired man behind the counter waved to her. As soon as he spotted me, he crossed his arms and watched me through his thick glasses. His eyes focused right on my bruised face. I knew what he was thinking. "No, I'm not going to steal anything," I wanted to tell him. I picked up a big jar of peanut butter, carried it to the counter, and put it in front of him.
"Can I just put the stuff that I want to buy here?" I asked.
"That'll be fine," he said, studying me. "I don't believe I've ever seen you here before. I'm Mr. Graham. What's your name, boy?"
"Ben," I said, grabbing a loaf of bread and a jar of jelly. "I just moved here a few days ago."
He watched as I went back and picked up a large box of cereal and a carton of powdered milk. I piled everything on the counter and pulled out Aunt Faye's money.
"Where are you living, Ben?"
he asked as he rang up my food.
3 blocks up on Union," I said.
He nodded and looked up from the register. His face was lined with wrinkles, but his eyes were bright and clear.
"So are you going to Blueford then?"
"Yeah. Starting my sophomore year there next week," I said, handing him the $20 bill.
"Well, you'll be in a good school. That's for sure, Ben. I got some old friends over there. Some have been my customers since before you were born," he said with a chuckle, putting my stuff in a paper bag and handing me my change. "Lord knows I've seen a lot of kids come and go through there."
I pocketed the money, grabbed my bag, and headed toward the door when I heard Mr. Graham grunt behind me. I turned back to see him lifting a carton of bleach and carrying it to a nearby shelf. He looked like he was in pain as he ripped open the carton and pulled out the heavy bottles. 5 more cartons were still waiting to be moved.
"You want me to move those for you?" I asked. "They look pretty heavy."
He sighed and straightened his back slowly. I could see the pain on his face.
"That'd be real nice of you, Ben. I do feel it in my back more than I used to," he admitted.
I put my grocery bag down and moved the cartons for him.
"I appreciate your help, Ben. A lot of kids your age wouldn't bother helping an old man," he said as I finished.
It felt good to hear his words. He even gave me a free grape soda just before I left. I was carrying my food home, wondering how long Aunt Faye's money would last, when an idea hit me. I turned around and went straight back to Graham's. He smiled as soon as he saw me come in.
"Back already, Ben? You forget something?"
I didn't know how to say what was on my mind, so I just spit it out.
"Mr. Graham, could you use some help around here?"
He gave me a long, thoughtful look.
"Now, I appreciate your help earlier, Ben, but we just met. I don't even know you."
I couldn't tell him that I was scared about not having enough food at home. All I could do was keep trying.
"But I'm a good worker, Mr. Graham. I can help you move those big cartons."
"I don't know, Ben," he said, pausing. "I don't like those bruises on your face. I can't have a boy here who's always getting in fights."
"I wasn't looking for a fight," I said. "I took a walk on the wrong block yesterday and some kids jumped me. It wasn't my fault."
Mr. Graham paused and stared at me in the eyes for several seconds. I'm not sure what he was looking for, but I noticed his face soften slightly.
"You remind me of myself when I was your age. I was always looking for work. And to tell you the truth, I could use a little help in the afternoon during the school year. But I can't pay you much."
"That's okay," I blurted. "I just need some spending money for school."
I didn't want him knowing the truth. That didn't feel right.
"Tell you what, Ben. You come back after your first day at Blueford. Show up around 3 o'clock. There'll be a delivery truck coming in then. We'll see how things go and take it from there."
"I'll be here," I said. "Thanks, Mr. Graham."
Union Street was filled with people as I headed back home. It was mid-afternoon. The air outside was so hot my t-shirt stuck to my back, and I could feel the heat of the concrete through the bottom of my shoes. 2 blocks from my house, someone had opened a fire hydrant, and a jet of water sprayed out onto the sidewalk and poured down the street. Kids of all ages were laughing and splashing in the water. Up ahead, a group of teenagers sat on the shaded steps of someone's front porch, watching me as I approached. I held my bag of groceries close, remembering Rodney and Shamar.
"What's up, man? Where are you from?" said one of the kids. He wore a black baseball cap turned backward. His friends all looked at me.
"Sup," I said, eyeing them.
"I'm right up the block on Union."
"What happened to your face, yo?"
said another kid, the oldest one on the porch.
"You look messed up."
"That's rude, Roylin," said a girl sitting with them.
I knew Roylin was showing off for the crowd. Some kids are like that, acting harder than they really are.
"Yeah, leave him alone, Roylin. He ain't bothering you," said the kid with the cap.
"What's your problem, Dez? I'm just playing with him, that's all. Besides, what I said's true. He's messed up looking," Roylin said.
"Don't worry about my face. You got enough trouble with your own," I said, even though I was asking for trouble.
Roylin suddenly looked like someone slapped him.
"Aw, snap, that was cold," said the girl. "He just busted on you, Roylin."
The summer air seemed to get hotter as Roylin stood up and stepped toward me. He was about my size, but before he got in my face, Dez stepped in his way.
"Sit down, Roylin. He wasn't bothering you until you started with him."
"Dez, I don't care who your brother is. Get out of my face unless you want some of what's coming to him."
Dez looked at me and then at Roylin. He wasn't sure what to do, but I could tell he was on my side. For a second, everything was quiet. Just then, a pickup truck stopped in the street next to us.
"What's up, y'all?" a voice called out.
Roylin's eyes widened, and he walked away without a word. Whoever was driving the truck commanded respect. All the tension in the air seemed to disappear just like that.
"What's up, Coop?"
someone shouted. I turned and noticed the driver of the pickup looked a lot like Dez, only older and bigger. He glared toward Roylin and nodded at me like he knew exactly what just happened.
"Everything all right? You new around here, ain't you?
I'm Cooper, but call me Coop. This here's Dez, my brother."
"Yeah, we met," I said, looking at them both.
"I'm Ben. I just moved in."
"Welcome to the hood, Ben,"
Cooper said, slapping hands with me and turning to his brother.
"Dez, we gotta go now.
I told Tara we'd pick her up a half hour ago. You know how she gets when I'm late."
"You're busted, Coop,"
Dez teased and jumped into the pickup with his brother.
"Thanks, Dez,"
I said as he closed the passenger door.
"Ain't no big thing," he replied as the truck pulled away in a cloud of gray smoke.
But to me it was a big thing. For once, someone was on my side, and no fists were flying. It was the biggest thing, I wanted to say as I moved through the heat to my house.